Ladies and gentlemen, this is another episode of the Independent Wrestling Revolution podcast. I am Scott Patterson. I'm sitting here with Jonathan Peak, formerly known as Johnny Chaos. How are you doing today, brother?
I'm doing pretty good, man. It's good to be here.
Well, I'll give you you listeners a little bit of a backstory here. We're sitting at Victory Championship Wrestling, Georgia. We're about to kick off a big night. It's first official TV taping for Fight TV. We're going to give credit out where it's due. We appreciate our sponsors over at Fight TV here at the Heard County Recreation Center, and we support our guys back home at Victory Championship Wrestling in Mumford, Alabama. Jonathan, or Johnny, whichever you prefer to be called, give us a little bit about yourself. Tell us how you got started in the business.
Well, I'm from a little small town in Alabama. Coleman is where I was originally from. The area that I started in, I was actually driving down the road one day in 2010, I think it was, 2009 or 2010. I've been hitting the head so many times, it's hard to remember some of this stuff. But I was driving down the road, and this little rinky-dink shack I seen on the side of the road, it said wrestling. Just monotone, just said wrestling tonight, 7 p.m. So I went, checked it out. The first little independent show that I can honestly remember having an opinion about, without being like a kid going back in the day to 157 that Mickey Henry ran about the grocery store. And went in there, checked the show out, and I was like, wow, I really wanted to try I think I could do it, you know. So I decided to, they had a wrestling school, quote unquote. Basically, it was go in there, pay them $450, they'll teach you how to bump, and that was it. Really no psychology, they didn't really teach you anything. Where I really got the training from was actually just doing shows and just starting at the bottom and just kind of learning, kind of like a hands-on training kind of thing. I didn't really have any kind of formal training school. I didn't, you know, they have the Ricky Morton Academy and places like that, some of the notable training schools around here, that's basically it. I've learned by just hitting the ropes, I guess, basically be a metaphor to use.
So it kind of gives you a little bit of a same feeling of what I had. You know, I had a couple of initial, you know, training sessions with Joe Hogan. You know Joe very well. And then I got tired of being a referee and said, you know what, I want to work. And then he's like, well, get out there and do it. We have a mutual friend who just retired, Billy Neely. Scrub Critter.
Great guy.
Retired last week. Was it 21 years in the business?
21 years, man.
So what type of influence, I see what you're doing now, your Special K with the Critters. That's a whole different person that I'm used to seeing out there. Tell us a little bit about your bringing in to the Critters.
Well, I was actually working heel as Johnny Chaos, and I was working up here in Mumford, which was formerly known as Southern Legacy Wrestling. And he come to me and just asked me, you know, hey, what do you feel about being a Critter? I was like, man, I'd love to. You know, I've been a heel for most of my career, and probably a good 7-8 years off and on. And he just come to me and said, hey, how would you feel about being a Critter? And I said, well, yeah, I wanted to, but then again, it's been so long since I'd been a baby face. I didn't really kind of know where to start or know where to go. And anybody that's seen the Critters kind of know that they're goofy. They do goofy things. I mean, they're all about the ha-has and the joking. And me as a heel, you've seen it. I was serious. I didn't really care nothing about. I didn't care nothing about joking. I was just about getting in there, kicking some tail, and
going home.
didn't care who I made mad, who I pissed off, and just on a personal level, I kind of made a lot of enemies that way because I kind of my attitude now kind of reflects who I am as a heel.
Right.
So like, it's easier when you try to reflect yourself. I'm not saying that I'm a jerk or anything like that. I'm a pretty nice guy, but you relate more to your character if you try to kind of portray your personal attitude.
Try to live it, right?
Yeah. But now he approached me and said, you know, I want to be a Critter. And I said, I'll try. that's the best I can do. You know, it's kind of weird. It's kind of weird dressing up in all the orange and all the different goofy colors and bandanas and things like that, like they do, and coming out and trying to have the Critter attitude. And trying to basically jump from one to the other because there was no easing into it. You know what I mean? The storyline was set up and just went straight into it. But I've kind of come along into it now. I've kind of found a little groove. I'm still not as good as Billy or any of them others about being goofy, but my tag team partner, which is I mostly tag team with, Cousin Skeeter, he's kind of helped me along and helped me realize, you know, you ain't got to be serious all the time. Because I was like, man, I don't know if I want to do this because I can't. It's out of my comfort zone.
Right.
So you don't really, you kind of get doing something you're not really comfortable with. You're like, you know, I don't know if I won't change. You know, I just kind of want to stay what I know I'm good at.
I can see that playing into your personal life a little bit too with having to be serious all the time, whether it be with your work or your family. I've been that serious guy for a while now, and even, you know, spending 10 years in the military, I had to be serious and then get in the ring. And as a babyface, it's a game changer. It's you got to focus on being that person.
Yeah.
And I see how that can affect you.
It's a lot easier if you can relate to the person you're trying to portray.
But it's a lot different being a critter, too. Yeah. I've had the pleasure of being in the ring with you, Skeeter, Scrub, Scum. I've had the pleasure of spending time in the ring with every single critter except for Classy.
Yeah.
Which
there's a lot of critters.
I don't want to
pay. I'd give you my paycheck if you can name every one of them.
Good point.
But there's been quite a few. Some of them I've wrestled personally as different personas, and then some of them I've not met. And then some of them have moved on, and of course Billy just retired, so that just leaves, I think, four of us right now.
Four active.
Four active.
Once a critter, always a critter.
Yeah, but the ones that wrestle now, you know, full time is just, I think, four. We just recently added a new member, Slappy D. I don't really know him. I know him when we used to wrestle in Athens at a little show down there, APW, and in Athens, and he wrestled under a hood as the Avenger or Vengeance or I can't remember his name.
There's so many like mask gimmicks. I used to run as Screaming Eagle, and that was one of my first encounters with you. Well,
I do remember that.
Johnny Chaos at the time. That F5 did not feel great. you know, Billy actually has influence over my career as well. When I was just first in the business, I just mentioned Screaming Eagle. He gave me that persona. And then we did a Veterans Day show. You were there at the Veterans Day show.
Yeah.
I actually think we worked that night in a fatal four-way tag team match. And but that night, he announced all the veterans that were working on the show by our shoot name.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't go out there under a mask because where we were, people in Anniston and Oxford area, they know me.
Yeah.
And they know me in Sylacauga. So when you say that name and I'm already, you know, dressed out as Screaming Eagle, Billy just killed the gimmick right there. And so from that day forward, I've been wrestling as myself. You know, to me,
in my personal opinion, my opinion's not for everybody. So to me, if you wrestle under a mask in the state of Alabama, especially if you're in your area where you're most known, people can look at your body type and tell who it is.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Especially if you got tattoos like me, you and I have.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's going to notice that who you are. That's why I just – and plus, it's so hard to breathe, man.
It is. It is ridiculous. I don't see how the luchadors do it. I don't.
Hard to see. You can't just look down. You got to look like this now.
You got to pull the Batman and turn your whole neck. Yeah. And turn your whole body. Yeah.
Your whole body, yeah.
So you said you'd mentioned your opinion. In the last 10 years, I've watched – pro wrestling grow and change, and I've already given on the first episode I gave my opinion of the current status of independent pro wrestling. What is your opinion of where we're at right now?
Well, I think it depends on the area where you're at. Like in the South, Southern people love wrestling. I mean, in my opinion, in the South is a lot of shows pop up and a lot fade away. There's very few shows in the state of Alabama that have a tenure. I feel like that, you know, sometimes people come into a little money and they want to start a wrestling show and they realize that they're not going to make any money
in
a wrestling show, and they don't necessarily have the dedication and commitment when the times get rough, and they kind of close shop and kind of shut the doors. But, you know, I feel like I don't know if it's on a rise. I don't know if it's on a downfall. It kind of seems like it stayed the same. I've been doing this since 2010, and it's kind of seemed like it stayed the same. Now, shows are few and far between. Like when I was in Coleman, I know of when I lived there and growing up, there was one show. It was ran by an individual named Mickey Henry. Never worked for him. I don't know anything about the promotion or anything like that, but he always, when I was a kid, he always brought in the big names like Road Dogg, Jesse James, X-Pac, Bullet Bob Armstrong, right. People like that, that, you know, that were popular, and the fans knew that, you know, every week they was going to get to see somebody that was, had made it.
Yeah, exactly.
And they wanted to be there to see them in person, so they're going to pay that money to see that person. So I feel like it's pretty much stayed the same. It don't seem any different. The talent changes, egos change, and people's opinions of wrestling change. And I just think it's where one dies down, another one pops up. So it's just kind of okay. Like a, just one dies, another one comes up somewhere, and then maybe a handful flourish.
Do you ever sit and look at it from a fan's aspect of, say, what can I do to help this promotion grow, or what can I do to help pro wrestling as a whole grow?
I look at it. Everybody starts out as a mark. If you come into this business saying I was never a mark, I never watched wrestling, I'm gonna call you a liar, because you don't just drive down the road and see this thing and you just be like, well, that looks really cool. Well, you know, let's try that. Somebody's grown up watching WWE or WCW or AWA, NWA if you're that old. And so, personally, I like watching the lower budget stuff. I mean, I don't really get into the WWE much. I don't watch, because after doing it for so long, you just kind of look at it and you find yourself nitpicking everything.
I've noticed that.
They do. So I just kind of, I watch the indie shows. I watch Fight TV. I watch stuff about on there. They have numerous shows on Fight TV, the wrestling shows. So
I tend to, when I'm watching Fight, I tend to watch all the promotions that are not surrounding me. Yeah. Within, say, a 300-mile radius. I tend to watch the stuff out in Vegas, the Midwest, a lot of stuff up north. If you're within a 300-mile radius, I can go to you.
Mm-hmm.
I can come and see your product. And we support pro wrestling. We support independent pro wrestling. Like, you showed in tonight just to do this podcast. Hey, look, somebody else sitting on the card, there's a spot that's open.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody's not showing up, hey, there's a spot open. Mm-hmm. And I do that a lot. Whenever I'm not booked on a weekend, I grab my tag team partner, Jay Impact. Mm-hmm. I'll grab Jay and say, hey, look, you know what, let's hit Roanoke. Or, hey, let's hit this city. Or, hey, let's hit that city. And we'll sit in and watch their product and see what we – and I ain't saying we steal ideas.
Mm-hmm.
But what can we do that they're doing? Or what can we do – or what can we help them with that they're not doing? And that's what it's about. It's about a brotherhood. It's about a family.
You know, in every show that you, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're fine.
But any show that you go to, there's the fans want to see something different.
Exactly.
Maybe you'll go to here in Georgia and they want to see mat wrestling. They want to see the holds, the chain wrestling, and the off the ropes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And stuff like that. But then you go to this next city, wherever that may be, and they want to see the flying flipping.
They want to see the luchador stuff.
The luchador stuff. And maybe you go to the next town and they want to see that deathmatch, CZW type stuff.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's like wrestling and then there's like sub-genres.
So, you mentioned deathmatch and you know our founding father was John Rare and he's the king of the deathmatch. Mm-hmm. He's known as the angel of death for a reason.
Yeah.
Do you have any animosity towards deathmatch wrestling?
I do not. I actually love it. I actually do.
Wow. Okay.
When I knew that I liked, I'd been wrestling a while, and I went to IWA match, and Coleman they had at the Armory there, and one of my great friends, I love him to death, he's a deathmatch participant, Spider Boudreaux.
Spider, yeah.
And actually, it was a great honor for my very first, I'm not going to say it was a deathmatch, but it was a hardcore, no-holds-barred match.
Right.
And
because it's Alabama,
it was with him. Yeah, you can't have a death match, quote unquote death match in Alabama anymore.
Right.
But it was actually with him, and I was scared to death, man. I was like, man, this guy's crazy. The very first match I ever seen that I really fell in love with and really liked was actually between him and John Rare.
Oh, okay. And, okay.
It was a brutal match. I believe a couple of things I remember from that match is actually John Rare taking a grinder and hitting Spider in the arm with it, stabbing him in the arm with a box cutter. Of course, I've bled and used to the match and things of that nature, but I've always wanted to have an actual death match with live tubes, barbed wire. Maybe once. Maybe I do it one time and I'm like, to hell with this, I don't want to do this no more.
Yeah, I know.
But I've always wanted to have one good, you know, I've had hardcore matches, chairs, and, you know, garbage can lids and stuff like that and things. But the match I had with Spider Boudreaux, it wasn't extravagant. It wasn't bloody or gory or anything like that, but it was stiff.
And I can believe it. I've watched a lot of Spider stuff.
And, you know, and he headbutted me probably 30 times. Most people gig or juice. It was the hard way. He busted my head wide open, you know, and I was just like, wow. And he probably forearmed me, elbowed me in the face about 10 times, you know.
Goodness.
And threw me over the guardrail, into the chairs, and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, man, this is pretty fun. You know, I'd like to take it to the next level. But I just never got that opportunity to. I've never got to work or talk much with John Rare, but I've seen his stuff. And, big fan of the IWA.
He's actually retiring in October. There's the Angel of Death Deathmatch Tournament. It'll be over here in Georgia. We're getting a venue set up. There are currently 13 participants in that tournament. Myself and Bubba Duke will be in a tag team match to open the show.
Yeah.
Because I said I'm not a deathmatch guy. Yeah. I love to watch those matches. I love to see John Rare, guys like Spider Boudreaux, and even Jay Impact. I love to see those guys go to work because that's their art form.
Yeah.
You know, we treat this as an art form. But we're in a tag team match. I was like, I don't want the hardcore stuff. One of the worst matches I've ever been in was a No Holds Barred match. And my opponent poured a bucket of Legos on the mat.
Yeah.
And I forever hate Legos now. Legos. Surprisingly, the only time I've ever bled in a match was by accident. And this past Saturday, your foot hit me in the mouth.
That's not the first time you've ever bled.
I've bled. That wasn't the first time. But it's just a small number. The first time, first time I've seriously bled because my lip was on the floor somewhere.
Yeah.
But it was a freak accident.
Yeah, I did it myself. I wasn't even on purpose.
I did it myself.
Yeah.
I kicked myself in the face.
I was seeing blood dripping and I was like, whoa.
Yeah, I had to tag out and wash my face off because we were filming for Fight, you know, and they have standards, so I can't be bloody on camera.
Yeah. Too much blood in the beard.
You know? Yeah, oh yeah, and then it gets to smelling. It's just horrible. Is that why you shaved yours down a little bit?
No, actually, it was kind of an accident because I was trying to do some fancy stuff and shaved it down to a goatee. Then I went to the barber this morning and I just got him to just level it all out.
Well, it looks good. I need to go see the same barber because mine's getting a little...
You got to come to Boaz.
I definitely have to do that. So, everybody's all about social media. Where can we find you on social media?
I'm not really that active on like Instagram or Snapchat. I have personal Snapchats and stuff, but as far as a gimmick Snapchat and Instagram, I don't have anything like that. So I kind of tend to stay off social media. I feel like maybe social media sometimes can be an outlet for
trouble.
Yeah, let's just sum it up as trouble.
Well, I'm guessing you're on the Critters social media outlets now as well. So
there's a Nasty Critters Facebook page. And there's this only other critter Instagram or Snapchat I know of is Grub Critters, and he's retired.
So. Yeah, and that's his personal Snapchat too. So
yeah, he does his personal stuff and his wrestling stuff on his his Grub Critter account.
Well, I do know that if you guys want to catch Johnny Chaos, aka Special K, you can go to vcwaction.com. There's character profiles for all the current performers. Of Victory Championship Wrestling and Victory Championship Wrestling Georgia will soon have their own page on the website. keep in mind, we do birthday parties, we do special events. Get in touch. Go check out vcwaction.com. This has been another episode of the Independent Wrestling Revolution podcast. Thank you, Jonathan, for joining us.
Appreciate you having me.
All right. Y'all have a good day. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. You know, I figured we'd add a little bit to this segment of the Independent Wrestling Revolution podcast. I finally have my co-host, Noah Howell.
Yo, yo, yo.
And my new guest co-host, Special K. He's back. And joining us now, we have Judges.
Oh, yeah. One half of the Squared Circle, the greatest tag team in the history of man, the Better Bulldogs, and the Vulture himself. God, I'm hungry.
The Vulture. What have you ate today?
Dead things.
Dead things, of
course.
It was
literally chicken with a potato and some broccoli, and it was dead though.
I thought that was a stick of butter. It was.
I do
so
eat sticks
huge,
of butter. Yeah. That's the mystique to my physique. You know what I'm saying?
It's butter.
Yes.
That's why I don't have a six pack.
No, you got to eat more butter.
Got it.
The higher the cholesterol, it raises up your risk for stroke, but it makes your body look really good.
Okay, I had to remember that. So, do you eat it or do you lather up with it?
I lather up with it, but basically, butter is the new steroids. So, that's what I'm going with. It's non-injectable. You just got to eat it.
Oh, okay.
And then it just works. I don't even have to tan no more. I don't work out.
Well, these statements have not been checked off by the USDA or the Food and Drug Administration.
It's parquet, guys. It's parquet.
All right. Speaking, you mentioned your tag team partner, Jeremy Foster. Tag team tournament.
Oh, yes. Yeah. It's going very good.
So we had the misfortune of facing off against the Nasty Critters.
Why do you got to say it so low, man? You say it with enthusiasm.
Wait.
The New Religion faced the Nasty Critters and got beat.
Wait. You were talking about how y'all were going to go all the way to the finals and get your hands on Southern Revolution.
Didn't he say that in the first episode?
Yeah.
Did he not?
I did. You were talking all that smack to Ryan Reeves.
Oh.
And y'all couldn't even make it out that first round.
Well, you know what? This is independent wrestling. We will get our hands on Southern Revolution, regardless of it being a tag team tournament or not. Judges, I'm going to look at you man to man and say, I wish you the best. Please beat these guys.
Hey, maybe you can have a match with the Southern Revolution and the Undercard when we're on main event.
I accept that. We had mentioned earlier how I got my lip split open by Johnny Chaos's foot, or Special K's foot, in my offensive maneuver.
Well, I would say that the New Religion plastic surgery has been very well.
Oh, thank you.
Father Jay does a great job. It looks good. Looks good. You guys are good with needles and stitches and super glue and Legos or whatever you used.
See, it's funny he mentions that. He wasn't even in here for the first part. We talked about death matches and how one of my first experiences in professional wrestling involved Legos.
Oh, yeah, man.
That's a side story for me and you to discuss later on.
I hate
Legos.
You said it involved Legos.
I didn't build anything. I got slammed and slid around and okay, it's...
Come on.
It's disturbing.
Come on, you're hinting at it. You might as well give it a story.
No. I'll tell the fans that later. It's already on the other podcast, and it's already on the first part of it. Judges, so a couple questions here. You know, I asked Special K the same thing, and me and Noah talked about this in the first episode. How'd you get your start? What brought you to be in professional wrestling as a whole?
About 7 years ago, I came into the business. I trained with Mad Dog Dan Sawyer in Rimlap, Alabama. My first company that I worked for was Global Championship Wrestling. That's where I met the most devious, villainous, short, weird person in the world, Jeremy Foster. Like every time I say his name, money goes flying around. I'm telling you, he's money. Well, he's a couple cent, but I'm not on here to bury Jeremy Foster. I'm here to talk good about him.
For those listening, what had happened was Special K stood up and a bunch of change fell out of his pocket. You could not have timed it any better.
It was like
I was sitting next to Judges, you know, he looked so good. I didn't have any dollars, so
you can't make it rain. You gotta make it hail.
He made it hail on me. It's okay.
That sound effect was like a daggum Sega Genesis Sonic game. Somebody just got the golden rings.
Yeah.
Oh man. So back to topic. Jeremy Foster, you know, you're going there with the GCW, Global Championship Wrestling.
And then from there, we went to New Japan, Ring of Honor, got signed to WWE. We got legend contracts now, and everything's, you know, I'm working
on this. Come down out of the clouds.
Oh. Basically, I'm working for a handshake at a hot dog now.
It's only good if it's a certain hot dog.
We can all relate to that, though, for real.
We can.
On a serious note.
Yeah. Probably a bratwurst, lightly toasted bun, maybe some sauerkraut.
Don't lie, man. It's a bar S. The red ones that look like fake hot dogs.
It's a red hot. I'll be honest.
It's a miracle if it's hot.
Yeah.
The great value bun.
Yeah, it's been wrapped in tinfoil for a couple days. It's not very good. It's kind of crusty.
Somebody's been working in Piedmont too long. Shots fired. Okay. Again, back to the story. So you're here with us at Victory Championship Wrestling in Georgia tonight. We're in Franklin, Georgia. We met each other over in Mumford. You and Jeremy Foster are taking this Better Bulldogs thing to a whole new level. What was the inspiration behind the Better Bulldogs name?
Well, one of the greatest tag teams in the history of professional wrestling is Davey Boy Smith and the Dynamite Kid, Tom Billington, which we love the British Bulldogs. We try to emulate some of their stuff in the ring. But the sad thing is we chose a team that's probably the second best in the history of wrestling because we're the first and the last.
Oh, man.
That's a biased opinion.
No, everything in between, too.
Oh, man. You know, I grew up watching the old school WCW, WWF, when it was still that, and my mom was part of my inspiration getting into professional wrestling. She loved the British Bulldog. You know, Davey Boy was one of her favorites. I occasionally would do a running power slam. Mm. So far, I am 2 for 5 of those tries. Successfully hitting it. It's
and 0 for 2 and beating anybody with it.
Yeah, touche. Mm. Touche. Mm.
Easy now. I feel tension in this room.
Wow.
We're even.
It's getting pretty real in here, guys.
So, all right, since we're being real, the independent scene as a whole right now, me and Noah have discussed how hot it is. Special K said that, you know, since he's been in the business, it's kind of, you know, retained the same level. What is your personal opinion? This is not, you know, anybody's individual opinion other than judges. What is your opinion of the independent scene right now?
Well, since I'm judges and I have the right to judge, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you guys the truth. It's the drizzling craps. Just playing. I love the indie scene, man. This is where my heart is. This is where my family is. Even though, you know, I hate everybody in the business and their mother and their step grandchild. I don't like anybody. I don't like any fans. I don't like the guys handing out hot dogs at the front. I don't like the promoters. I don't even like myself right now. Wait, hold on a second. Let me stop. I like the independent scene. I like everybody in it. We probably need to step our game up.
I don't know how to take you right now. You're messing me up, man.
Is it reverse sound?
No, man. I'm in love with the business. I love the indies, man, and I couldn't be more happier than where I'm at right now, man, and the great talent around me. And this is what I live for.
So do you have a higher goal? And this goes for you too, Special K. Do you guys have an ultimate goal? Do you is there a level you want to get to, or is there a stage that you want to perform on?
Yeah, my next goal within the next 2 to 3 year plan is to appear for Ring of Honor and go through their camp in Baltimore and just try to do my best, man. And that's a dream of mine because all my favorites have been there. You got your Punks, you got your Seth Rollins, you got your Kevin Steens, you got all, you know, Samoa Joe, Homicide, all the greatest have come through there, and that was a starting point for them. So it'd be an honor for me to be there, man. I love their product, man, and it's a contractual company. It's a big company, but yet it's got the heart of an indie scene to it, and that's what I love about it.
Special K?
I really didn't have a plan. I really didn't go into this thinking I was going to go anywhere special. I wasn't actually trying. I mean, I'm in the gym, you know, I try to do the best I can, cardio, things like that. But some people got that look, and I'm just soggy around the middle. And, you know, just to be honest with you, when people look at you to recruit you for a contractual company, they look at what you look like at first. Like when your first impression, they look at judges and, you know, good looking guy, you know, nothing weird like that or anything. But, you know, there is some big people in the company, but they're just big. They're not, you know what I mean? Like 7 foot, 500 pounds, not talking about the Big Show at all, but just people like that, man. I mean, but to answer your question, I really didn't have a goal. I mean, I'm just kind of take it by the match. Every match that goes on, maybe you catch the attention of somebody that they know somebody and they know some other people, and maybe one day I get there. If I don't, I've had fun doing it. But if I do get there one day, I'd like to go to the top stage, maybe WWE or something like that. I'd be happy with just being not even on camera, maybe just working for the WWE in some sort of way. But no real big plans to do anything. I'm a realist. You know what I mean?
Sounds like you and Noah have the same gym etiquette there.
Yeah.
But I personally, you know, when I first got into this business, I didn't have a goal in mind. I was kind of seeing it that way. You know, I just want to live a dream, perform on a stage that I'm comfortable with. Now that I've had time to think about it, I've expressed this opinion very, very many times. I want New Japan. I want to work in front of a sold-out Tokyo Dome. Yeah. I want to work in front of crowds that don't know my name that I can get on my side just by my appearance. And, you know, they always say the outsider. You know, you have the American, you know, coming in Japan trying to take over. Well, I don't want that. I want them to see, you know what, he's here to work. He's here to perform for us and give us a show. And that's what I've always wanted to do. It doesn't matter if I'm working face or heel. Really, I'm working if I'm just to get to work on a type of stage.
I'm interested in their style of wrestling.
That whole the strong almost style. Almost a shoot strong
style. Yeah.
And like, you don't know if you're quite sure. You don't know if you're really getting your ass kicked or not.
Right.
You don't know if it's a work or you're really getting your ass whooped. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So. I agree with you on that. I trained mixed martial arts with the U.S. Army. And then I've seen judges. You've trained mixed martial arts as a civilian. And can you take that to Ring of Honor? Can you take that to the next level?
I think any kind of, whether it's, you know, collegiate, you know, high school wrestling, MMA, if it's boxing, anything like that, any kind of contact sport, even football, you know, stuff like that, man, can definitely help your game, man, and definitely make you a greater threat, you know, than just being one-dimensional with pro wrestling.
Right.
You can be a submission artist, man, or a striker. It definitely changes the game, you know, wherever you go. And you'll be an asset. You'll be an added asset to what's already there, so.
All right. See, everybody's got their big, giant pool of opinions. And what's important is this is independent wrestling. This is the IWR, Independent Wrestling Revolution podcast. So it gives us an opportunity to open up about those things and typically what people don't want to talk about, whether it be the combat arts, you know, going from one sport to the other, or going from your personal life into professional wrestling. A lot of us have full 40-hour, 50-hour week full-time jobs. I know myself, I put in at least 60 hours last week. So, and then we're on the road because we love this business.
Absolutely.
That's what makes the independent scene so amazing. And we've had this conversation before, Noah, having creative control over yourself. Mm-hmm. I want to know where judges came from. I want to know who you are and where that persona, in the embodiment of that, where that started.
The embodiment of judges. So judges came out in basically March of this year. I had the idea that back in ancient Israel, in the book of Judges, judges were to be defenders of a nation. In Western civilization, we think of Judge Judy. We think of somebody with a gavel and a black gown here to bring judgment on you in a courtroom. But back in ancient Israel, it was more of a combatant, more of a commander of the army, a protector of the land. And I consider myself a protector of the art of wrestling, the squared circle. I'm a protector of the ring. In between those four posts, in between those ropes, the turnbuckles, the apron, everything about that ring is what I protect. And if anybody's coming to destroy that, for us as a whole, I'm here to protect independent wrestling. And nobody's going to take that from us. We're not going to be shut down. We're not going to be pushed aside. We're not going to say, those guys aren't good enough. We're all going to put our work in. And in a larger picture, man, I know that the squared circle is Man Foster, but we're all the squared circle. We all put our stamp of approval on these shows, man, and we all work our butts off. And, you know.
That hits deep. I didn't think about that.
And I'm some people say, oh, how dare you judge somebody? Judgment is not for man, you know, but yeah. So, somebody's shaking his head. Oh, he looks good too. But but nah, we're not here to judge, man. We're here to love each other, but I will judge anything between those ropes that doesn't look like professional wrestling, that doesn't feel like professional wrestling, and that's a threat to our business. So
it's ironic you say that. I walk around with the symbols of the Four Horsemen on my wrist. And one of those is the balance of life, the judgment, the pestilence. And you know, you have Xander Morgan, part of the VCW roster as well, and his name translates to defender of men.
Yeah.
So protector of men. So that's a match I'm waiting to see right there, and Judges and Xander, because it's you're both protecting
them. Hey, newsflash, I win.
Let's book it. Let's
well,
get that.
Well, because I'm gonna pay off Special K, and he knows what that payoff will be. Wink, wink. And he, wait a second. Is this a? Well, never mind.
You can shoot on it. That's cool. Here's the thing. I wouldn't. As I mentioned earlier, I wouldn't necessarily say you had to go that far, because you have the new religion that's just sitting back idle. We're waiting for the moment, and I know we mentioned Southern Revolution already, but the new religion is always taking on, you know, some type of challenge. Freak Squad's been barking up our tree a lot lately.
Yeah.
So, you know, just take Father Jay's hand.
Hey.
And he'll show you the way.
That's right. And if you guys ever need you guys ever need anybody to step in that gap, man, you know who to call, man.
Exactly. See?
We ain't afraid to get our hands dirty.
Special K, by the way.
Special K.
Everybody wants me on their team.
Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Special K. He's even on the shelves at Cereal Place.
On the Wheaties box.
Wheaties box.
You dropped that whole social media platform. Where can we find you on social media?
You look me up, Judges the Vulture on Facebook. That's where I'm at. And hit me up for bookings, anything like that, man. Or even if you just want to talk. I love hearing from fans how they enjoyed the show. I love hearing how much people hate me because I'm a heel. But honestly, man, I do this for the people, man. And I love to see smiles on faces, even if I'm the one getting booed, to get the face some love, man. That's what I'm all about, man. I'm all about crowd interaction, and maybe one day I'll be a good guy where people can love me. But
you gotta get prettier first.
I was trying to find the comeback.
Somebody find the fire department, man. That was pretty sick.
All right,
Noah, do you have anything before you sign off?
Yeah, since you hadn't said anything all
day. He's been listening in on this conversation. I've been doing all the talking. What do you got?
Man, I've just been sitting back, laying out, and letting you guys have a conversation here.
Well, it's been a very interesting episode of the IWR podcast. Judges, it's a pleasure. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, absolutely, man.
Especially
anytime,
on short notice.
Anytime.
Special K, you as well.
You're welcome.
And Noah, thanks for finally showing up.
Yeah.
Until
first or last.
Until next time,
and
folks.
In this case, I was last.
Yeah, he was. And he's wearing the Ricky Bobby shirt at that. Fun fact, Scott Patterson hates Will Ferrell.
What the crap?
I just don't like Will Ferrell movies. But until
somebody's
next time.
Locking the glass case of emotion.
Until next time, folks, you can find us at VCWAction.com, Victory Championship Wrestling on Facebook. They got Twitter yet? They got Twitter yet? They got Twitter? I'm going to have to get on that for them. You can find me on Twitter at The New Religion. Actually, that's all my social medias is at The New Religion, except for my Facebook. That's Scott Patterson. Noah Howell, referee Noah Howell.
At ref Noah Howell on Twitter.
And then we got Big Smooth with the guest caveat.
Hey.
Where can we find Big Smooth?
You can find Big Smooth anywhere, anytime, any place, but specifically on Instagram at Big Smooth. That's BIGSMUVE. Same goes for Twitter and on Facebook at Big Smooth The Wrestler.
All right. T-shirts are on sale right now. Get them while they last, because it's just smooth business.
It's just
smooth business. We're trying to recruit them, guys.
I work alone.
All right, I hate you.
Till next time.